Roland Smith here with Carl Sabatino, and our guest for this particular segment is Mr. Joseph Zwilling, Director of Communications for the Archdiocese of New York. And Joe has been a guest with us a couple of different times throughout the years, and always a pleasure to have you here.
Roland, my friend, it's great to be with you.
You've been doing this for how many years?
It will be 33 years this May.
That's a long time to get it right.
Well, I'm still working on getting it right. One of these days I'll have it.
How would you describe your job for those people out there who might not know what a director of communications does for the Archdiocese of New York?
Well, my main part of my job is to serve as the spokesman for the Archdiocese of New York and for its archbishop. That's currently Cardinal Dolan, who is the Archbishop of New York since 2009. Before that, I had the privilege of serving Cardinal Egan, of course, Cardinal O'Connor, and then for about the last year, year and a half of his life, Terence Cardinal Cook. So it's fairly unique to be able to say that I've served four different Cardinal Archbishops of New York, gotten to know them, gotten to work for them, represent the church, especially here in the media capital of the world.
Indeed. You know, that's where I first met you, was when Cardinal Cook was Archbishop of New York.
Right. And during those difficult days, you'll remember back in 1983 when he literally lay dying of the leukemia that he had been fighting behind the scenes with nobody really knowing for a very long time before it finally took him at a very young age. He was only 62 when he passed away.
You know, he was one of the more interesting prelates that I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. In that one time, he through you, I believe, invited me to do one of the readings at the Bicentennial Mass in 1976. Bishop Sheen gave the homily, and Helen Hayes was the other reader. And what a great thrill that was for me at that time to meet both of those people who were in my life as a young person, because my parents always watched Bishop Sheen and of course Helen Hayes.
First
lady of the theater.
Absolutely, so, and a wonderful Catholic, and such an inspiration. I mean, those names are legendary, and they're not just legendary here in New York in the Catholic Church, but those were national, international figures. And Cardinal Cook had a way of bringing people together. He really was a fascinating man, but what I will always remember is his kindness, his gentleness, the way he made it a point in a very simple way to let people know that he recognized them, that they were important to him.
Well, yeah, I always remember his memory in that I introduced him to my children at one time, and then maybe two or three years later, he called them each by name.
Yeah, he was, he was
extraordinary.
Pretty remarkable that way.
Carl, join in here.
Well, I'm just enjoying the repartee, if you will. It's always fascinating for me as a kid born and raised and brought up in the New York City Catholic public school, or should I say Catholic system, Cardinal Hayes.
Hayes man.
A Lady of Pompeii, the church that I served with in my family in Greenwich Village for so many years.
Was this Reform school or was this Catholic school you were talking about?
That was in the summertime when my mother would say, he's gone. They'd plant us someplace upstate in Goshen, New York somewhere. But Joe, the fascination of dealing, and you said it earlier on, and dealing as director of communications in the media capital of the world. Must be a daunting task, no matter how you look at it, because you can't please too many people all the time, that's for sure.
Well, it has its challenges, but I say this honestly and with great sincerity, the good people that I have met in the media through these past three-plus decades has really inspired me. There are so many reporters and producers and editors and station managers who, Catholic or non-Catholic, they have a great respect for the church. They have a great love for the church and what the church represents in this city. And even when we're dealing with difficult subjects, as we have to from time to time, controversial subjects, as we have to from time to time, there really is a sympathy for the church and wanting the church's message to get out. We don't ask for favorable coverage. We don't look for special treatment from the media. If we've done something wrong, we deserve to be called on it. We deserve to have the spotlight put on us if we've done something wrong. But we want it to be done fairly. We want it to be done objectively. And the people that I've met who are so dedicated to their craft, they're good reporters, has really made my job an inspiring one. I have been inspired by them.
Well, you know, speaking of inspiring, there is going to be a papal visit to the east coast of the United States later on this year.
That's right, the end of September.
The Holy Father will come. I think he's going to Washington and Philadelphia, and then they finally announce he's coming to New York.
Well, the trip has been known for a while that he was going to Philadelphia. That's for what's known as the World Meeting of Families, and that actually was set up by Pope Benedict, that he was going to Philadelphia before his resignation 2 years ago. So we've known for a while that Pope Francis was going to be in Philadelphia, and we had a very good idea that he would probably go to Washington and to New York. But we didn't have that confirmed until we heard it straight. Well, I don't want to say straight from the horse's mouth.
Go ahead.
Lean on that one, Joe. Go ahead.
But we heard it directly from Pope Francis himself when he was flying back to Rome from the Philippines. He had these impromptu press conferences on the plane, and he said, yes, I'm looking forward. I will be going to Washington. I'll be going to New York as well as to Philadelphia.
What kind of planning do you have to do, does the whole Archdiocese have to do for this kind of a mega visit?
Well, this will be the fourth time that a pope has visited New York. We'll have the 50th anniversary of the first ever visit by any pope to the United States, Pope Paul VI, in October of 1965. So that was the first ever. And then we had John Paul II come twice in 79 and 95, and of course Pope Benedict in 2008. So we've got a fairly good handle on what goes into something of this magnitude. But even knowing that, the amount of work is just going to be breathtaking. There's going to be such interest, such enthusiasm for Pope Francis and his visit. You know, he's captured the imagination of the entire world. And so we know that our main challenge is going to be making sure that as many people as possible get in some way to participate with Pope Francis. And for me personally, that means working with the media, because even if we get 50,000 or 100,000 or 150,000 in all these places that the Pope goes to see him live and in person, mm-hmm. so many more people, so many millions more people around the country and around the world will experience the media.
Many people will take a plane or a train or drive a car here just to see the Holy Father.
Just to line Fifth Avenue if his motorcade goes down Fifth Avenue, or just to be outside someplace as he passes by. Yeah, we expect all that. So there's going to be a tremendous amount of coordination, a tremendous amount of working with the media, working with the Secret Service, working with the venues where the Holy Father will appear, working with the Holy See, the Vatican, in arranging all of this. So it's going to be many, many months of very little sleep once we actually kick this into high gear.
Do you, like, plan his meals?
Well, somebody has to, yes, actually.
You actually do that, too?
We'll get the representatives from the Holy See will come over.
Yeah.
They will meet with us, and we'll begin to set the agenda. But they will tell us some do's and don'ts. They won't say, you know, for breakfast you have to have scrambled eggs, bacon, and okay. three pancakes and a glass of orange juice. But they will give us general guidelines of things that we should plan to have, things that we should plan to avoid.
Where does he stay? Is he going to stay at the Cardinal's residence?
Well, that's to be determined. In 65 and 79, the Cardinal's residence was the base of operations. But in 95 and 2008, we have what's known as the Vatican Ambassador to the United Nations. And John Paul II and Pope Benedict stayed at that residence. We don't even know yet, though, whether this will include an overnight. We think it probably will, but we won't know that at least until the end of February, beginning of March, when a team from the Vatican comes over and we begin to put these pieces into place.
Well, I'll give you a little secret. Carl has an inn at the Vatican. And he might be able to learn some of these things long before you and I would ever learn this stuff.
Carl's going to be my new best friend if that's the case.
Right.
Well, I'm fascinated by all of it. Joe, you have a daunting task in front of you. But as I've noticed over the years, and I've been in this city most of my life, you guys have done a beautiful job with it. beautiful job with it. Absolutely magnificent how you handle it. It's always timeless and, should I say, smoothless.
I would agree. I mean, I was a reporter in this town for many, many, many years, and Joe Zwilling was always one who was helpful to everyone fairly.
Yes.
Which
yes.
I thought was is the best compliment I can ever give you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that very much. And even though it's going to be exhausting, I know when it's all over, I'm going to look back with regret that he has come and gone. It'll be such an inspiration for this city, though.
Joe Zwilling, thanks for joining us on Smith Sabatino.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Come back again, I hope.
Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Joe. This is Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith, and this is Smith Sabatino on America Weekend. Do please stay with us as we move along into our broadcast heard on the Envision Radio Networks. We're back. Stay with us.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here, it's party season, so would you like to be the life of the party?
It's time to party!
Are you tired of being a wallflower or hiding behind the shrimp dip? Easy to sparkle at parties, here's the social science of it.
Give it to me now!
To be the life of the party, stay informed. If you're going to a party this week, then know the local news and TV plots from last week.
Okay, next issue.
Next, warm up. Arrive early so people can be met kind of on a one-on-one and look approachable. People who are anxious at parties tend to hide their anxiety under a neutral exterior. This comes across as aloof and hostile.
He looks like a weirdie.
Instead, you should lift your head and smile. What's the cheap psychological trick? It's easier to interact with others when they think you want to interact with them. Have you got a question? You can send it to me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Welcome to American Biker Minutes. ABM wonders how many decided to get a personalized license plate only to be turned down because of a government-perceived double meaning. Hang on to your helmets. A related case in Texas may be going all the way to the Supreme Court. Today on American Biker Minutes.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Texans strong in their belief in freedom of speech. A Lone Star citizen says freedom extends to the written word on license plates. In 2011, Supremes held that burden falls on the viewer to avoid further bombardment by simple eye avertment. Expect the highest court in the land to reaffirm. Ban one group, ban them all. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.